Due to technical problems at the church meeting yesterday, we weren't able to actually record the sermon I preached on Matthew 10:17-31. So I'm sitting in my study on a Monday afternoon, recording it for anyone that wants to listen to it on the web. I'm going to read the passage first of all, which is Matthew 10, verses 17-31. Jesus said, "Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground, apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." Well, a couple of months back, Jim and Claire mentioned that I was down to preach the week that Charlie was being baptised. And so when I got home, I had a read of the passage we had read to us a few moments ago. And to be honest, my heart sank. I mean, could there be any more inappropriate passage for a young child's baptism than this one? A passage in which Jesus tells his first disciples and all that have followed him since, "You will be prosecuted. You will be persecuted. You will be libelled." A passage which contains a verse like verse 21. "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death." What a great verse for a family occasion. Happy baptism, Charlie Woolford. Perhaps this is why the Church of England does infant baptism, signing Charlie up quick before he can object to what he's been signed up for. What sounds like, what reads like, a grim life following Jesus Christ. At the same time, happy parenting, Jim and Claire. You could, verse 21, be bringing up a child who will one day betray you and everything that you stand for. Could this passage be any more inappropriate for a day like this? A day when we meet together to baptise a young child. Its contents are probably enough to make most of the Christians in this room want to give up on following Jesus. His brutal honesty about being his disciple, about what it means to share the good news, is to say the least just a little bit off-putting. For as his first disciples to prepare to go on their first ministry trip without him, Jesus tells them and all his other disciples, down to Charlie Woolford today, he tells them, "People will hate you. People will hate you because you follow me." And this hatred will, according to Jesus, show itself in three ways. First of all, being a disciple of Jesus will mean being prosecuted. Look down at verse 17 again. "Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles." Jesus was right. Not long after his resurrection and ascension to heaven, the first disciples, the guys who had heard these words spoken to them for the first time, were hauled in front of the Jewish ruling council. After intense questioning, they were all flogged and sent away with their backs throbbing with pain. It was the first of many prosecutions for very simply being followers of Jesus. And these prosecutions have not just remained in history. No, they continue until today. A 24-year-old man called Amaret is a disciple of Jesus who lives in northwest Uzbekistan. In June 2008, he was arrested and prosecuted and continually beaten in prison, all for very simply being a follower of Jesus. And so, Charlie Wilford, Jesus says to you on your baptism day, people will hate you. People will prosecute you because of me. Secondly, being a disciple of Jesus will also mean being persecuted. Look down now at verse 21. Jesus said, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth. You will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And again, Jesus got it right. The early church saw leader after leader killed as they attempted to make disciples of Jesus. In around 150 AD, the leader of the church in Ephesus, a guy called Polycarp, was burnt at the stake for refusing to acknowledge the Roman emperor as lord over the whole of his life. He was burnt, he was killed, he was persecuted for being a loyal disciple of Jesus. In more recent times, Pastor Hema, a leader of the Christian church in Cambodia, was butchered by the Khmer Rouge along with the rest of his family. They were picked out, they were targeted, because they were loyal disciples of Jesus. And so, Charlie Wilford, Jesus says to you on your baptism day, people will hate you. They will persecute you because of me. Thirdly, being a disciple of Jesus will also mean being libeled. Look down now at verse 24. Jesus says, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Back in chapter 9 and verse 34, we read of how the Pharisees put Jesus' authority over demons down to him being demon-possessed himself. And here Jesus is saying that sort of libel will be his disciples' experience too. Yet again, Jesus was right. In the catacombs of ancient Rome, graffiti has been found of a crucified donkey being worshipped by a man. Underneath it are faintly scratched the words, Alexander worships his God. Alexander was being libeled for following Jesus. And today, many of us would have had to get used to being labelled as narrow-minded, intolerant, bigots, by colleagues or by friends or by family members, all because we follow Jesus too. And so, Charlie Wilford says, Jesus, on the day of your baptism, people will hate you. They will libel you because of me. In these verses, Jesus makes it very clear that as he was prosecuted, as he was persecuted, as he was libeled, his followers will be prosecuted and persecuted and libeled too. People hated him. And his simple message to his disciples of all ages and places is, people will hate you. People will hate you too. And as that grim news sinks in, doesn't at least part of you want to just admire Jesus' honesty? In a world where the small print is always very small, here it's big, 48 point plus and in bold. In a world where the recruitment adverts for teaching show row upon row of smiling kids all with their hands up, here Jesus tells the truth. Jesus tells his disciples how it is, how it will be. He hides nothing. He does not try and pull the wool over their eyes to get a quick commitment. Now, as always, Jesus Christ tells it straight. If you follow me, people will hate you. This book arrived in the post for me this week. It's Dermot McCulloch's A History of the Christianity, the First 3,000 Years. Like all good books today, it accompanies a TV series. Like all my books, It's already covered in plastic to make sure that it lasts a few thousand years. Now, as you can see, this book's going to take quite a long time to read. It's a hefty volume. But off the back of our passage from Matthew, I can anticipate a lot of its contents. Accounts of prosecutions and persecution and libel against Jesus' disciples throughout the church's history. You see, any history of Christianity will confirm that Jesus got it right here in Matthew chapter 10. Hatred has been the experience of the majority of the Christian church for the majority of its history. It is still the daily experience of the majority of the Christian church today. All indicators show that it would increasingly be the experience of the church in this country too, especially perhaps for the disciples of Charlie Wolford's generation. And so anyone who is, and so anyone who wants to be a disciple of Jesus, needs to get used to the inevitable consequence that people will hate you. People have always hated Jesus' disciples, as of course they hated Jesus himself when he walked this earth. Now that probably means we're all asking ourselves one question. Why bother? I mean, why bother following Jesus if people will hate us? Who'd want to be his disciple if that is the deal? All there is to the deal. I hate being hated. I don't want to be prosecuted. I don't want to be persecuted. I want to be libeled. Neither do you. Why sign Charlie up for all of that? We've all seen him around the church family. He's a sweet little boy. We all hate the idea of him being hated. We don't want him to be prosecuted, persecuted, libeled as he grows up. So why don't we just walk away? Surely this is a great thanks but no thanks moment for all of us. Thanks, Jesus, for being honest about what following you involves, but no thanks. We're not interested anymore. All that hatred that you talk about here means it can't ever be worth following you. Well, to conclude that, before we've heard what else Jesus told his first disciples and all his other disciples down to Charlie Wolford today, would be premature. For I hope you noticed that as we read through that passage, that it's not all doom and gloom. Jesus doesn't just say people will hate you. No, he also communicates the fantastically encouraging news that your Father God will keep you. Your Father God will keep you because you follow me. And again, this will, according to Jesus, happen in three ways. So first of all, being a disciple of Jesus will mean God providing for you. Look down at verse 19. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And again, Jesus was right. When Jesus' first disciples were hauled in front of that Jewish ruling council, he did give them the words to say. In the book of Acts, we read of how they, filled with God's Holy Spirit, boldly proclaimed the gospel under the greatest of pressure to shut up, much to the amazement of those listening. In Uzbekistan, a year or so ago, Amrit did almost give up on Christ as a result of all those beatings in prison. But then God's Spirit gave him the courage, the strength, the words to say to the prison guards who were beating him. He said to them, "You can kill me, but I do believe in Jesus and will never renounce him." And so, Charlie Wilford, Jesus says to you on your baptism day, your Father God will keep you, will provide you with the words, will give you the strength that you need. Secondly, being a disciple of Jesus will mean God saving you. Look down at verse 22 again. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Jesus was right. When the early church leader Polycarp was burned at the stake, he did so knowing that he was safe, completely safe, in God's hands. He died praying to his Father, knowing he'd soon be saved from death and in heaven with Jesus. Just before the Cambodian Pastor Haim was massacred, along with the rest of his family, one of his sons ran away into a nearby forest. Pastor Hen called him back with these words. "What comparison, my son, stealing a few more days of life in that forest, a fugitive, wretched and alone, to joining your family here, momentarily around this grave, but soon around the throne of God, free, forever, in paradise?" In response to those words, his son returned, and that whole family died together, knowing that God had saved them, and that they would soon be together with him. And so, Charlie Wilford, Jesus says to you on your baptism day, your Father God will keep you. Your Father God will save you. You are safe in his hands, even if, God forbids, you are one day killed for him. You will then live forever with him. Thirdly, being a disciple of Jesus will mean God caring for you. Look down now at verse 29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Look down. It's worth our while pausing, isn't it, at this point, just to grasp the level of care that's been talked about here. We're told, aren't we, in verse 29, that God cares even for the common sparrow, so much that not even one of them dies without him knowing, without him caring. And then in verse 31, how much more valuable Jesus' disciples are to God. If he cares for even one common sparrow, how much more will he look after them? And in between, verse 30 communicates something quite incredible, doesn't it? Why not look down there again? "And even the very hairs of your head are numbered." A mother knows their baby's body well. That bruise that came from the tumble off the changing mat. How many teeth have come through. Where any birthmark is. But no mother I've talked to knows her baby well enough to tell me the number of hairs on its head. A husband knows their wife's body well. That beauty spot on her right cheek, the scar from that operation where she's ticklish. But no husband I've talked to knows their wife well enough to tell me the number of hairs on her head. But here, any of us who are disciples of Jesus today are told that God knows us that well, that personally, that intimately. He knows me well enough to be able to tell you the exact number of hairs on my head. He cares for me that much. He registered that level of change to me. And is that not incredible? Is that not one of the most beautiful things you have ever heard? I wonder if you've ever thought to yourself, nobody really knows me. Nobody really cares for me. Well, says Jesus, God does. Down to the details you don't even know yourself. The number of hairs on your head. He cares for you. He loves you. That much. That intimately. That personally. And again, Jesus got it right here. Years before he spoke these words, the writer of the psalm, which we've called Psalm 139, had articulated a similar truth, writing these words. "O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." He knew that God's care for him was that detailed. Later on, Jesus' disciple Paul could write these words in his letter to the Galatians. "The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me." He knew that God's care for him was that personal, because he even cared about the number of hairs on his head. And so, Charlie Wilford, Jesus says to you on the day of your baptism, your Father God will keep you. Your Father God does care for you. He alone knows you well enough to know the number of hairs on your head. And so although it is true that people will hate you if you follow Jesus, what far outweighs that is the truth for all of us that seek to follow Jesus today, that your Father God will keep you. Why? Well, just look at what they're able to do. Yes, people can prosecute you. They can persecute you. They can libel you. But only your Father God can truly provide for you and save you and care for you forever. Much, much greater things than anything any person will ever be able to throw at you. That is why it will always be worth following his son Jesus, whatever happens to you as a result. And that is why the application of these truths to his disciples' lives is very simple. Do not be afraid. Jesus says that three times, doesn't he? In verse 26, so do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that would not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. In verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And in verse 31, so do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. In the light of the news that your Father God will keep you, the news that people will hate you should not lead to fear. Instead, his disciples are to fearlessly keep following him and to keep speaking of him, proclaiming what they've heard from him, what he's passed on to them. I wonder who here at Emmanuel is just a bit nervous about giving out those Christmas cards with details of our services. Perhaps it didn't go down too well in your office last year. You don't want people to hate you again. You don't want people just to be funny with you. You don't want people to ignore that invitation. Well, Jesus says to you today, do not be afraid. Your Father God will keep you. He will give you the words to say as you hand over that invitation. He will give you the way to say it. Do not be afraid. Trust in him. And that is what Jesus is saying to all his disciples gathered here today, down to Charlie Wilford. Yes, people will hate you as they hated me, prosecuting, persecuting, libeling you as they prosecuted, persecuted and libeled me. But your Father, our Father, will keep you, providing, saving and caring for you. For you are, verse 31 again, worth more than many sparrows to him. In fact, says Jesus, through his death on the cross, you are worth me to him. He gave me for you at Calvary. That is how much your Father God is willing to do to keep you, to provide you, to save you, to care for you. He was willing to give me, his one and only Son, to die for you. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And so Jesus says to Charlie Wilford on the occasion of his baptism, you, Charlie, are worth more than many sparrows to your Father God. You are worth the death of me, his son. And so he will keep you. So do not be afraid. Could after all there be any more appropriate passage for a young child's baptism than this one? Shall we pray? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Our Father God, may Charlie live his life in the light of that news. And may we do too. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.